Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Southwest Central Church of Christ. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister of this congregation, and we are so glad that you're here. Thanks for joining us today, no matter if you've been a longtime viewer of these Facebook Live videos or if you've been an actual in-person part of this congregation. If you're visiting from across town, across the state, or other places, we are so glad that you are here. If you have been following along on Facebook Live over the last couple weeks, you may have noticed a few in our streaming, quite a few actually, and I am sad about that. Hopefully we have it all worked out now. We are broadcasting directly from my cell phone. We are extremely fancy like that, and you notice, you see the reverse images on the screen behind me. I don't know what to do other than that, so maybe some of you techie people can help me out there, but we're going to roll with what we have. None of this is ideal, of course, but we're good, and we're going to make it. And what we've made for today, what we've got for today is another simple service with a couple of songs led by Brent. The Lord's Prayer will be spoken by Cora in a few moments. Chelsea will read our psalm for the day. We'll meet at the Lord's table again. So now's a great time to grab bread, grab some juice, some wine, whatever you've got in preparation for our time right after our sermon. I will preach again from the book of John in our continuing series that we've called God and the Neighborhood. We have four more of these lasting throughout the rest of this month, including today in this series. Come June, we will start something else. And starting then, I would like to very gently begin incorporating maybe one, maybe two of you to do something a little bit different, to invite maybe a couple of you to read some scripture or give a testimony, offer a prayer, speak a word at the table. I'm thinking and dreaming about these things, whatever's next. So there's that. I assume in June that we will still be meeting online like this, but who knows? I am planning as if we are. Honestly, I have no idea what things will look like when we get back or when we will get back together. I do know that our shepherds are having those kind of very beginning kind of conversations right now. There's no solid answers, of course. Everything is completely up in the air. We will listen especially to our medical professionals as to when we open the buildings again and how we move forward when we eventually do. And we will trust God's Spirit and God's timing and pray specifically for God's granting of wisdom. Although I want to be back together and we want to be back together, believe me, I want to be back incredibly so. This video thing is not my most favorite thing in the world, I can tell you that. When we do move back together, here's what I can assure you. We will choose patience first. We will listen. We will pay attention. We will not rush things. We will not hurry faster any more than we should. In the meantime, let us continue to love each other from a distance, however we can. Please don't neglect your neighbors, especially those who might be suffering more than you are. Don't forget to pray, please. Don't forget to breathe, please. Don't forget to remember. And keep joining us here online, where for at least 30 minutes each and every week, you can receive a bit of encouragement by being with one another in these ways. All right, so if this video breaks up or if it stops playing for some reason or if there's too many skips, I'm just going to stop the video and we're going to finish the service from here and upload it a little bit later this morning. Hopefully it won't come to that, but that's my immediate plan for that. So Chelsea is watching from her phone directly to my left to keep me updated in that regard. One thing that we've done for seven straight weeks now has been mark our time with the lighting of a candle. This candle is a constant reminder, a burning reminder, of the presence of Christ with us, even as we are apart from one another. So right now I'm going to light the seventh candle, and then Chelsea will come and read from Psalm 23.
Good morning, friends. Our psalm reading is from Psalm 23, one of my favorites. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Good morning, church. Today we're going to sing two songs about Jesus. There is none like you, and there's not a friend. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal all our souls' diseases. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
All right. For our young friends, those of you in our elementary class or our Roots class, even those in the nursery, hopefully you received your Leaves bulletin in the mail this week. You can follow along with what we are doing today. You've already heard Miss Chelsea read from Psalm 23. You've heard Cora say the Lord's Prayer. On the back, I want to bring your attention to the do part. We're going to be talking about this some in my sermon in just a moment. The do part says this: plan an outdoor breakfast picnic this week and try to include some goldfish crackers in your meal. As you pay attention to the sermon today, maybe some of that will come clear. But if you are able to do that this week, or any of you really, adults included, I encourage you to have an outside breakfast this week. Well, we come to the "but wait, there's more" section of John here in chapter 21. Last week, when we spoke about John chapter 20, you may have noticed that it was a very logical and sound conclusion to the book. We could see that the gospel was being wrapped up neatly, a final period marking the final sentence, ready to be shipped off to the printer, then heading out to be packaged right into our Bibles. Then John 21 comes along and says, "But wait, there's more." The more is the story of Jesus in his third appearance to his disciples. We've spoken about the first two of those appearances the last two Sundays. In this one, the disciples are not behind those locked doors anymore. They've stepped outside, which is a huge improvement, I think. Peter the fisherman decides to get out into the lake, and the seven others with him say that they will go also. Fishing through the night, they catch absolutely nothing, until a mysterious figure in the early morning fog calls out from the shore, "Try the other side." They do, and the great haul of fish is more than enough for the day's farmer's market. The beloved disciple we saw throughout John's gospel says to Peter, "It is the Lord." Peter, who is fishing naked, throws on his clothes, dives into the sea, and swims to the shore, leaving everyone else to tow the nets on in. And there's Jesus, and what is he doing? He's making breakfast. He's got a fire going. The coals have burned down to an ideal temperature. There's fish on the grill, and there's bread in the basket. As casually as can be, Jesus tells Peter to get a few of the fish that they had just caught. He's going to cook those too. Then Jesus breaks bread, divides the fish, and eats with them. Here at the very end of John's gospel, our text this morning has all the makings of a classic God's story that we find ourselves drawn into. Empty into abundance, old into new, disappointment into surprise, regret into restoration. Moreover, it's one of those fascinating stories in the Bible with an abundance of details, some great details, like how the disciples in the boat don't recognize Jesus or his voice, even though they've seen him twice by this point. Peter putting on clothes to go swimming. And then the fact that the disciples caught exactly 153 fish. What a great detail. This story also presents us with the unique challenge of finding double and triple meanings behind what's going on. Like, what is the significance behind that number of fish? Why is it important that we know that the net did not rip? The charcoal fire. Peter stood before another one on the night of Jesus' arrest, didn't he? All of these are worthy endeavors to pursue. None of them are rabbit holes. But here's what I've kept coming back to this past week. Jesus' simple invitation to come and eat. Jesus serves them fish. He serves them bread. The living God shares communion and fellowship and friendship with them. This is the Lord's breakfast right there on the beach. My one experience in trying this Lord's breakfast thing came in April of 2011. When I was youth minister here, we had yearly retreats with our teenagers, and I would ask some adults and as many parents as possible to join us. Several years in a row, we'd rent this beautiful beach house in Galveston. This particular year, in 2011, we made our own bread on that Saturday afternoon, which we would then eat on Sunday morning during communion. Early on Sunday morning, the last day of our retreat, Michael Tucker and I believe that it was Luis Suarez carried supplies down to the beach. Here's a picture of that. There they are going down. You can see them there on that table carrying a small grill. Michael went early to cook fish over a tiny charcoal fire. About an hour later, when the rest of us at the retreat had we walked down that exact same road to the beach, we found that all things were ready for us. We surrounded the table, and there before us was bread that we had made from the day before, and there was juice poured and waiting. And there, of course, was the fish. Here's a picture of that. Maybe you recognize some of those folks in there, people that we know and love, right there. I will say that eating breakfast like this on the beach is not ideal, at least at the Galveston Beach. The waves of the Gulf behind us were quite loud. You could barely hear. The gusts of wind, if you can call them that, I'm positive, seasoned the fish with grains of sand. Dogs and their people were walking by the entire time. Even still, Michael, with great joy, led us in thought and conversation on John 21, the part we are considering today. Here's that picture right there. You can see there's the fish. And I love in this picture, you can see Michael's notes along with the bread that we made and the cup right there. Jesus then took bread and gave it to them. Michael read to us, and we ate that bread that we had baked. Then he did the same with the fish, and we ate the fish cooked above the charcoal fire. "This is my blood," he read, and we drank it. The experience moved me, and it moves me even now, seeing those pictures of all those people, remembering that moment with them. In John, Jesus invites his sleep-deprived disciples for the meal he himself is preparing. When they surround and sit, the topic at hand is not about rehashing the betrayal and the crucifixion and the chaos that was still fresh on people's minds. Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't chastise or berate or passively, aggressively hold a grudge. The kingdom of God is better than any of that. Jesus has come to set people free, not hold them captive. Next week, we'll consider together what Jesus does talk about, how these folks right here are the ones who will be sent out with a message that will change the world. Soon, they will be the ones who speak of empty into abundance, old into new, disappointment into surprise, and regret into restoration. But not yet. They'll get there. Right now, though, what we have is a group of tired, confused, remorseful, half-dressed group of fishermen. What we have are disciples who are hungry for more. With purpose as thick as the sea salt in the air, the very much alive Jesus tells them, "Come and eat." These are the holy words of welcome. He shares communion with them. This is the reconciling act of forgiveness. Jesus gives. He gives the bread and he gives the fish. This is the restorative movement of grace. Jesus thus receives his disciples, and their eyes are opened. John writes this: "None of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' They knew it was the Lord." The disciples recognize Jesus. No matter if we call it the Lord's Supper or the Lord's Breakfast, no matter if we pinch off a bit of cracker or bake our own bread, no matter if we eat together in a full auditorium or virtually across computer screens, this is what the table of God does. It opens our eyes to our host, Jesus, the one who has all things ready. Always we return to this table, for it is there, my friends, that we find Jesus himself serving up peace and forgiveness, hope and grace. In the bread and in the cup, and in the fish, if you have it, we get a foretaste of the full and present kingdom of God. The mission of God will come. The work will be there. But first, the tired and the hungry who have been locked indoors, anyone who longs for more, must first hear the welcome of God. They must hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come and eat breakfast." Thanks be to God. And together we say aloud or type, "Amen and amen." At your table or at your couch, if you're sitting on the floor, now is the time to get the bread and the cup. Whatever it is that you're using, I am going to try right now to copy over a prayer to this comment timeline. And if I do it correctly, I invite you to read this prayer aloud for your time at the table. I'm going to do that now. If you see any shaking on my phone, I apologize for that. Let's see if I did this correctly. Yeah, there it is. Let's use this prayer right here. You can either pray it aloud with whomever you're with. If you want to pray it just by yourself, that's okay too. And then share communion after you pray it with those you are with. We're sharing communion also with the Christ who meets us wherever we find ourselves. So let's do that now, please. Thank you. Now is the time to talk about our offering, our giving to the continued work of this congregation. You have been so faithful in giving, and we are so grateful for that, especially. Thank you for keeping your financial commitments during this crazy and wild time that we find ourselves in. It is truly a gift, and may God bless you for continuing to hold on to those, for entrusting that to God. Thank you. All right, that's what I've got today. I'm going to end with your offering. Yes, you, as I said, you can give those online, or you can also continue to mail those in. I want to say that before I move on to our benediction. And now our benediction. You are welcome to follow along. This is the exact prayer that I just posted a few minutes ago. You are welcome to remain in this prayer, remain sharing communion with each other as long as you would like, in conversation, however you see fit. If this leads you to further prayer when this live stream is over, that's great. Here is the benediction today, my friends. Holy God, Maker of heaven and earth, we give you thanks for bread, your body. We give you thanks for the cup, your blood. We give you thanks for fish, for how you feed us. Feed us now with your very self, you fisher of all people. Give us eyes to see and hearts to understand, not only what you do on our behalf, but also what you call us to do as your kingdom comes and continues to come. In Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. May you be blessed this week with peace and grace as you eat breakfast by yourself, if you go outside and do that, as you share meals with one another. May Christ be on your lips and on your hearts. Peace be with you.